so glad that you're with us and that you've chosen on this first day of the new year to be in God's house to hear his word. I hope you've already been sensing the presence of the Lord and so much to come today. It is so great to see you. I want you to turn to a person near you and just say, thanks for being here today. That's encouragement just to have them here. Some of you, they're sitting way too close to you, but they're right next to you, so God bless you. You know, as we begin this year, and we always remember and keep a fresh attitude to what church is, we want to always remember that every Sunday is a miracle. As a matter of fact, you don't know the miracle you're sitting next to today. You don't know their story. You don't know all that God's been faithful to do and to continue to encourage them. And you don't even know the step of faith it was to come to church today. So we always want to be grateful and thankful when we are here together this morning. Because by the very act of us being together, we're so different in so many ways, and yet we all have the love and the power of Jesus Christ, the grace of Jesus working in our lives. And although we're so different, all of us together need certain things, all the same things, to experience God's victory in our life. And we really want to look at this as God's spoken to me about really believing and understanding that as this new year begins, God wants to begin new victory in us. But what does that look like? And so we're going to look at that today as we hear about a call of prayer and some fasting that God, I believe, wants us to begin this year seeking his face and setting things right with him. So I'm going to encourage you, if you don't have a sermon outline, I encourage you to get one. This is a good time to take some notes. And there's some things about your own life you'll get to kind of start thinking about. So if you don't have one of these, or if you don't have one of these prayer and fasting bookmarks, I want to make sure you have one because we want you to keep this with you. So if you don't have one, would you just raise your hand right now so the ushers could get them to you? Anybody don't have one? I know we got lots of people already. Great. And I want to encourage you, get a copy for yourself. Bob right up here too. Okay. So want to encourage you and just keep your hand up if you need one because Bob, there was one, Miss Kim over there, whose birthday was Christmas Day. Happy late birthday, Kim. Hey, by the way, speaking of celebrations and just New Year, Thornton, you got anything you want to tell us? You just be Thornton. Go for it, Thornton. Just got engaged last night. Rachel, that was one of the probably a few times Thornton didn't have anything to say, right? He was just like, I surprised him on that one. Congratulations, guys. So happy for you. Well, you know, the fact is Jesus loves all of us. The fact is every victory is in him, but the fact is sometimes we're not experiencing that victory, right? Like, he's victorious. He's won it all. He's defeated every enemy, and yet there are places I'm frustrated. There's places I'm fearful. I'm feeling pretty frazzled about some things. And we know that Jesus, and we sang all about it, Jesus has broken every chain, and he's won every victory. But there's so many things. As I'm beginning 2017, I don't feel like I have the victory. Well, we want to talk about that because new victory is going to begin in your life and in mine as we just follow the word of God. So you see the beginning of this. I put down a few scriptures that are very much about this month of new victory beginning. And I want to encourage you to really believe that the Lord has you looking at this scripture today because it is for you. Amen? So we're going to read it now. Since it was between Christmas and New Year's, Pastor Sean got a little lazy and didn't make a PowerPoint for you. So I hope that's okay. But even Pastor Sean likes a break every once in a while. So it's all right here in your notes, so I support you have it. But why don't you look at these scriptures with me. But thanks be to God that he gives us the what? Victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's going to be our theme verse this month. Jesus has given us victory. John 15:4, Jesus is speaking and says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit or the word victory by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear victory unless you remain in me. We'll talk about why that's so important. Ephesians 6, always important to remember. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against who? the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil. Mark 9, Jesus has come down from the Mount of Transfiguration. The disciples have been trying to cast the demon out of a boy who needs it, but they can't. Jesus does it, and the disciples ask him privately, why couldn't we drive the demon out? Why couldn't we experience the victory? Jesus replied, this kind can only come out by what? Prayer and fasting. Now, we're all different, and we have different needs, different victories we need in our life. We have different stories, but all of us need three things to experience the victory that Jesus won on the cross for us. I want you to pay attention to this, because this is true for every one of us. And if there's a place that you're not experiencing victory, this is it right here. The first is this. You may want to take it down on the front of your notes. The first all of us need, we need a loving relationship with Jesus Christ. We don't need a religious one. We don't need a relationship with just church attendance. We need to actually know him. And not know him religiously, not know him just intellectually. We need to know him. That we love him, and that he loves us. You know, every morning when you wake up, the person who's the most powerful in the universe loves you the most. Every morning. That's never not true. And if we're going to have victory, 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory by who? Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So, we want to recognize that it's not being religious. It's not, I'm feeling pretty guilty, and so I should change so God will be happy with me. It's no, the one who loves me the most, I want to be with, because if I remain in him, if I spend time with him, his victory will come into my life. Simple thought. First thing we need, a loving relationship with Jesus Christ. For some today, this is your day for that. And you're kind of, maybe it's a rededication of that so that victory can truly begin. Number two, all of us need practical obedience to God's word. Just practical obedience. You know, sometimes we make Christianity a lot more complicated than it can be. We almost make it mystical, like there's no sense of like, hey, sometimes the answer is, I don't know, don't be a jerk. Maybe that, you know, maybe that'll be part of the victory. Maybe you'll start experiencing God's goodness if you forgive or if you serve instead of always wanting to be served, or if you bless instead of curse, or if you, you give to the Lord first instead of giving to all of these earthly things first. They're simple things, and sometimes we come to church, and it's true that God can do anything at any time, but we kind of turn Jesus into this magic kind of eight ball scenario where I'm not doing anything practical to just set myself up for God's goodness, but I just want to say a prayer and experience victory. Well, you know what? God, sometimes graciously, he just lifts you up to lift you up because he loves you. He knows what you can handle. He knows what you need. But I want us to remember that victory is just sometimes practically running the play. You know the coach calls the play? Go run the play. It works. I can't understand why I'm not winning. How about running the play? The play actually works. Just run it. So it's a loving relationship with Jesus. It's practical obedience. It's not complicated. You don't need a PhD in the Bible. It's just simple things that God will speak to your heart. You'll learn them every day if you just take a little time. But now number three, and that's why we're here today, you need focused spiritual warfare, okay? We need a loving relationship with Jesus Christ. We need practical obedience to God's word. But we do need to war against who? The devil and his schemes. And sometimes we kind of forget that it's not just about loving Jesus and it's not just about practical obedience, but there are times the Bible tells us Jesus demonstrated it and taught it. We need to war against the enemy. It's not that he's an equal power to Jesus, and it's not that he's an equal power to you if you're in Jesus. It's just that you do need to what? Take your stand against the enemy's schemes. In Mark chapter 9, the disciples have a loving relationship with Jesus. They're practically obeying him, but there's a victory they don't have. And they ask Jesus. It's like, Jesus, we don't get it. We know we're in your name. we're following your ways. Why couldn't we drive this demon out? Why in the spiritual warfare couldn't we win? And he said what? He said, oh, this one only comes out how? Prayer and fasting. There's spiritual warfare you and I need to be in. And we need to remember that because sometimes we focus on one and two so much and we forget about number three. So the whole logic is, I don't understand why God doesn't love me. If God cared, why is this still going on? Well, hello, you're in a war. You know, you have someone every day who's trying to steal, kill, and destroy from you. Every day he's trying to do that. And it's not that he can succeed if you just stand. You don't even have to really, all you have to do is stand up and claim the promises of God and follow number one and two, but then recognize that, you know what, there's some things I need to pray about and there's some things I need to fast about in life. And we just want to begin this new year with that call of prayer and fasting. Because guess what? That place you're frustrated in, it's not because God doesn't love you. That place that you're feeling defeated in and you don't feel like you can get where you want to go, that's not because God doesn't want to bless you and move you forward. It's because you're in the middle of a spiritual war and there are some simple things you need to do called prayer and fasting that aren't about being super spiritual and super religious. They're just about standing in the promises of God. And really, they're about depending on God more than you depend on yourself. If you remember the beginning of the year, we started with the theme, pray first. And the whole idea is, before I do anything else, I'm going to pray. When I get up in the morning, I'm going to pray. Before I go to work or school, I'm going to pray. Before I answer that email for that person who's really ticking me off, I'm going to pray. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to make sure I'm depending on God. Excuse me, my voice is going again. I'm depending on God more than I'm depending on myself. And what we said in the beginning of the year was this. When we pray, we're depending on God. But when we don't pray, it's a sign of what? We're dependent on ourselves. So we're not, instead of letting God fight our battle for us, we're trying to fight it ourselves. And guess what? We lose all the time when we try by ourselves. I mean, Satan's been doing this a lot longer than you and I have been alive. He knows how to win. He's not strong. He's just seen it all before. But when we get into Christ and his truth, then what happens is we have victory. Next week, I'm going to give a sermon on spiritual warfare, but this week I want us to start thinking about and getting ready for the idea of prayer and fasting because they are the most practical ways to war against the enemy, and really they're the most practical ways to show that Jesus, I'm depending on you. Now, we all know that at New Year's, people make resolutions, you know, and it's like, I'm going to work out every day. I'm going to work out every other day. At least twice a week, I'm totally going to work out. I'm going to read a book. I think I'm just going to read a book about working out. That would be better. You know, I mean, we all get that, right? We all get that point where we want something, but then when it comes to really wanting it, I don't want it that much, okay? Well, there are a lot of times we've even said to God, God, I want to know you, or God, I want peace in my marriage, or God, I want my children to be blessed, or God, I want to know this answer about my future. I don't want to know it that much. Like, I don't want to actually just pray and fast about it. And so just what I want us to see is there's some things. It's not that God's not loving us. It's that we're not standing in that place where he can really speak to us. And that's prayer and that's fasting. When we pray, we depend on God. When we fast, we live out depending on God. Because instead of that TV show making me feel better, or whether me escaping to that sin, or whether me even have that food or that comfort, now I'm actually doing what? Instead of relying on those things to make me feel better or to give me the answer, I'm going to do what? I'm going to depend on God. I'm going to live out depending on God. So these next 2 weeks, I'm inviting you to start today praying about, and then by Wednesday, when we start our first Wednesday or night of prayer, to actually come up with ideas. This is how I want to fast. I want to depend on God in a fresh way. And so we want to look at this together. Most people think of fasting, get all intimidated. Like, I don't want to do that. Like, you know, Pastor Sean, my life's hard already. I'm coming to church for it to get easier, not harder. You know, like, don't give me something more to do. It's like, no. What does it look like to do what Jesus said? Because there's some victory that God is waiting to give you, and you just need to step into that place of depending on him more than all your own answers. So, fasting is really an idea of feasting on something and fasting something. In other words, denying yourself something. So if you open up, we're going to go through four things that you feast on when you're in a prayer and fasting time, and four things that you deny yourself. And hopefully, as you see these, they're going to make a lot of sense to you and really start exciting you about the victory that's really this close to you. It's just a matter of stepping forward. So first of all, number one, when we're feasting, actually, let me tell you what we're feasting on above those four little points about how to do it. When we are in a fast, there's really, while the fast focuses on I'm not doing this, there's really a whole mentality of what I'm getting to do. And there are really three general things above those four points that we're feasting on when we choose to enter into prayer and fasting. Number one is the presence of God. Number two is the Word of God. And number three is the kingdom of God. So you might just want to write those down so that you're always remember kind of the goal in under these steps. We want to feast on the presence of God. We want to feast on the Word of God. And we want to feast on the kingdom of God. Instead of all these temporary things that, like, you know, just kind of fade away so quick and leave me feeling just as empty as before I started, we're going to feast on all the things that are like the ultimate heart buffet. It's just like, man, this is good. I'm filled. I'm feeling content. I need a nap. It's all good, you know? I want to take that time. So when we're doing this, what we're doing is, although we're going to focus on saying some no to some things, really the whole goal is what we're saying yes to. And it's a feast. It's like better than ever. So number one, the first thing I do to feast on these things is a commitment to increase daily prayer. Now we're going to talk about that in a minute, and we started this in September. We started, how can all of us start praying a little bit more every day? How can we start living out being dependent on God? I complain that I don't like my job. I complain that I don't have my relationship. I complain about, but am I depending on God for the answer, or am I just complaining about it? So what we want to do is we want to start focusing on prayer. Now, some of you, man, the fall was a great beginning, but then you kind of faded off, or maybe the holidays got you. We're just going to pick it up right now, and I want to encourage you to go a little further than you went before. If you were praying 5 minutes a day, let's try 10 minutes a day. Don't make it something religious. Just make it a heart issue of like, man, I want to know God's wisdom. What does God have to say on this? Now, when we did that, we handed out, and let me see if I can find mine. I had it. Okay, there we are. We handed out in September, I think, one of these Pray First cards. If you have yours, would you just take a look at it? Because we're going to look at it together for a moment. Because I don't want your thinking about prayer, I don't want you to think about being all religious and hard. It's actually really easy. If you'll notice the Pray First side, it says my daily prayer experience. And then we taught on this in October. We said, look, all prayer is you're recognizing that you're going to spend some time focusing on God. And the first thing you do is tell him how you feel. God, I don't even feel like being here today. God, I'm just frustrated. I don't understand. Or God, I'm hopeful today, or I'm feeling pretty good about this. And you're just telling how you feel. But then number two, you don't deny your feelings, but you also aren't led by them. Because number two, what you do is now you listen to how God feels. You listen to what he says, which is true. Because you don't want to be ruled by your emotions. That never goes well. You want to say how you feel because that's part of who you are right now. God wants to know that. But then you want to go from just feeling a certain way to knowing what God has for you. And the best way to hear from God is to read God's word. Okay? If your feelings are really in just a storm right now, it's very hard to hear from God. Like if you're very afraid about your next decision and all you're doing is saying you're afraid and you're just trying to listen, but you're not reading the word of God, it's going to be very hard to hear from God because your emotions are shouting down what God's trying to say. So the way you even that up, take out the word of God and read it. As you read it, say, God, I feel this way, but your word says this. So even though I feel this way, this is still true. You know what? Even though I feel this way, I'm going to believe this right now. I'm going to act on this, not this. And as you do that, God will bring peace. He'll begin to still all the storms in your life, and he'll begin to move you forward. So that's prayer. It's I'm telling God how I feel, but then I'm listening. Now, once I listen and he begins to show me something, number three, and this is where fasting is going to come in, then I want to give them something. I want to say, God, it's not just that I heard from you, it's I want to depend on you. So, Lord, I want to kind of empty something out so you can put something in. I want to let go of something so that you can give me something new. Sometimes it's just in that prayer moment, but fasting is when we focus on that all day long, all week long. We give God something. Instead of me having this and depending on this, God, I'm going to empty myself of that, and I'm going to let you pour into me. And as I'm doing that, God promises if I'll humble myself, if I'll draw near, if I'll deny myself, God will fill me up. God will lift me up. And so I want to do that. Prayer is I give to God, then God begins to fill me up. And then number five, I finish not just praying and living about myself, but about God's people and God's glory. Because some of the opposition and the attacks spiritually I'm facing are not even about me as an individual. They're about God's people because the enemy's coming against them. And so I want to join in prayer. And you'll notice the back of the card has a daily intercession focus. So when we're fasting, there's some things we can be fasting about and specifically praying together as a church family. Today, we're believing for victory over Satan, just a breaking of victory and power and discouragement over your life. We're going to do that for two Sundays in a row. And then you'll notice those. So we want to fast without prayer is kind of pointless because the idea is we're not just saying no to something. We're saying yes to something. Actually, when we get in his presence and it gets good, there's nothing better. And we actually walk away more filled and more content and joyful than ever before. Now, number two, we want a particular prayer need to seek the Lord for. So when we fast for a reason. The fasting focuses all come from stories in the Bible about someone calling a fast. So they were fasting over the issue of needing wisdom. They were fasting over the issue of needing revival. They were fasting over the issue of needing breakthrough. Jesus said, sometimes you face spiritual opposition and you got to pray and fast to break it. And so we want to have a very specific point. For you, you want to think about, Lord, where's the place I need victory in my life? Now, I can tell you pretty much how you know what that place is. And hopefully it'll be just because the Lord speaks to you, but it also can be because you should just pay attention to what do you complain about all the time? Like when you're not in the spirit and you're not happy, and you're not, what do you complain about? Whatever you complain about the most, that's what you need to be fasting for today. That's what you need to fast for this week. Some of us, it's a job situation. Other of us, it's an issue of health in our lives. Some of us, we need to be fasting for a breakthrough in a relationship. Some of us need to be fasting because there's a decision about our future we need to make, and we don't have any answers. So what we need to do, I mean, the Bible shows us, let's take these 2 weeks and let's fast seeking God so that he could bring a breakthrough in our lives. If you will do that, and when you begin to feel like you understand that, I encourage you to write it on down. God, this is what I'm fasting for in these next 2 weeks. This is the thing that I'm not just making a resolution about, I'm actually taking time to depend on you about this. And God's going to do something really special. Now, number three, we want to choose habits that increase your love and peace for Christ. So we're not just saying no to bad habits during our fasting time, which we should do, by the way. But what we want to do is we want to say yes to new habits, habits that actually increase our joy in the Lord. And so you want to think about what those may be. I think for most of us, music is pretty important to us. So I would encourage you to follow, I don't know, is K-Love who's doing the 30 days of Christian music only or whatever? I would encourage you to do for at least these 2 weeks only Christian music. Now maybe you're like, I don't know if I like Christian music that much or whatever. It's like, hey, why not for 2 weeks just open yourself, do a little searching, and just listen for something that fills you up with the right message and the right focus instead of always pulling you away. That's a really simple thing you can do during these 2 weeks of fasting. It can make a huge difference in your life. Now, there's also the idea of most of you, if you're here for Christmas, you got Right Now Media. Man, I would encourage you during these 2 weeks, every day watch something. Like every day, enjoy it. Sarah and I just finished Grace-Filled Marriage and Grace-Based Marriage. it was great as a couple. You could watch one every day for 10, 15 minutes because you're going to make a little time for it. My two of my gals, Kate was one of them. They started Francis Chan's The Book of James study. That's about 10 to 15 minutes every day. There are 12 episodes of it. You could watch one every day for 2 weeks, excluding Sundays. And that could be a great way to feed God's good. I mean, you're developing a habit. I want to hear from God. I want to think about God. I want to rejoice a little bit. I want to feel right. Andy Stanley's in there, J.D. Greer, Matt Chandler. There's incredible stuff, financial teaching in there. You could spend every day taking about 20 minutes and build a habit for 2 weeks that just say, I want to feast on all the good things that God wants me to have in life. We'll be having for the youth, there's some really good ones out there. Tim Tebow has a great one called Shaken that I've watched, really good. And you can be watching like 10, 15 minutes every day. So you can be looking at that. Our Facebook page will have our daily devotion on the focus there. You can be using that, but you're developing habits over these 2 weeks. They're all about pouring in the good stuff. And then number four, we want to commit to words that are only life-giving. So that means some of us are taking a vow of silence for 14 days. I mean, what are we going to say? We got nothing to say. But hey, this is one that usually, depending on your work environment, your school environment, your home environment, all right? But what does the Bible say? I mean, the Bible says that the words of our mouth, they've got the tongue's got the power of life and death in it. So here we are trying to seek God, but we're always throwing out words, and we're always throwing out messages that are tearing people down. You know, students, if you're at school, the way you feel better about yourself is tear somebody else down. That's how you feel better, by making them worse, and that lifts you up a little bit. Well, for 2 weeks, you're not going to do that. For 2 weeks, you're going to watch your words. Parents, family members, especially the people we're most familiar with, that's who we usually are most careless with our words. How about if we make a commitment for these 2 weeks, only life-giving words? Yeah. Some of you are like, thank you. You know, that's going to be it. It's just what you're going to do. It'll be great. And we're all going to work on this. So I want to encourage you to really be thinking about this. Because if we want to say we want more of the Lord, but our words keep sending us off towards other things, that's really going to hurt us hearing from God. So we're going to do that. Now, fasting also includes some things that we're attacking and we're staying away from. In general, above these 4 points, there are 3 things that we are warring against when we fast. Number 1 is the works of the devil. Number 2 is the lust of the flesh. And number 3 is the lies of the world. So when we fast, so we're feasting on God's presence. I mean, he loves us. His word, it makes us, you know, we're not fearful anymore. His kingdom, that was just good, man. I enjoyed that. I got strengthened by it, not torn down by it. But then on the other side, there's some things we got to make. If we're going to feast, then we can't do some other things. We got to make room. And these are the things we're warned against. You know, the work of the devil is always to get you to stop believing. You know, the work of God is to believe. So the work of the devil is always disbelief. It's always doubt. It's always confusion. So the work of the devil that we're going to fast against for 2 weeks, man, we're just going to believe. We're going to believe. We're not going to follow his lies. We're not going to go follow that other way because they say that's better. No way. We're going to believe in God. So we're going to attack the works of the devil. We're going to attack the lust of the flesh because that flesh is usually what's in charge, right? So you notice in Ephesians 5 where it says that our war is not against flesh and blood? That's talking about other people, but you absolutely do have a battle against flesh and blood. Your own. This thing right here has got to die, right? Because it's always telling you to do things you shouldn't be doing. You know, when you think about a fast, I had one guy say to a pastor friend of mine, I said, "Yo, pastor, I don't know if I could fast. I think it'd just kill me." And the pastor was like, "Dude, it's what you're eating that's killing you. Not eating is going to kill you. It's what you're eating that's killing you." All right? And it's like, no, we need to tell our flesh no. You know, just no. No. Like, but what am I going to do? Well, pray a lot, okay? You know, just feast on the right stuff. But we want to war against the lust of the flesh because that's what's always creating division in relationship, makes us selfish, always saying, I want. All right? So we want to war against that. And then the lies of the world. Man, there are a lot of things that look good. Man, they ain't true. You know, they ain't going to last. I heard a guy say the other day, he said, you know, freedom is not the same thing as pleasure. You know, the world says pleasure equals freedom. Like, if you just please yourself, you're free. It's like, nah, I know a lot of people do things that please them. You know, I know a lot of things in my life. I do it to please me. It just enslaves me. So we're going to reject that lie. We're not going to let the world be influencing us. We're going to take 2 weeks and close that part down. So here are four ways you can do that. Number one, you want a plan to limit your eating choices as a symbol of your greater hunger for God. So I'm saying I'm hungry for God, but I'm not living it out. I'm saying I want to depend on God, but everything gets in trouble. I go like this, you know? It's just like, no, depend on God instead. Like, actually live it out. And so what you want to do is you want to limit your eating choices. This is basically the way we think of fasting for the most sense. We want to say, God, I'm hungry for you. You know, that's what we want to do right there. We want to go this. From this way, we want to go this way. And when we get hungry, we want to remind us, I should be this hungry for him. Now, if you've never done it before or there's a health issue or something like that, you can start off small. We're not asking everybody to, for 14 days, go without food. There'll be some people who might even take 2-3 days and go without food. That's what you call a complete fast. It's just water and juice. Some of you may be called to do that. If you've never fasted before, that's most likely not your first step. You could do a partial fast, which is the idea of maybe I'm going to, you know what, I'm going to skip a meal each day. Usually it's not a good idea to skip breakfast. Probably the best one to skip is lunch, because you can take that time and use it to feast on who God is. So maybe you want to skip lunch for whether it's, and again, I'm encouraging you to think through this and on Wednesday make a decision to follow out with the rest of the 2 weeks. But you want to be thinking about that. And the whole idea of I'm going to, you know, that time I'm hungry for God. I need God. I need to hear from him. I need his word. Some of you, it may not be a meal, but you're really going to limit your food choices. No dessert, no snacks, no cookies, no sweets, stuff like that. And the whole idea is, I don't want to just mindly, like every time I'm not feeling well or every time I don't got something to do, or I don't want to just be stuffing in here, all right? What I want to do is I want to be thinking about who God is, what he wants to do in my life. So I want to encourage you, do something that makes sense for who you are. I had a little boy at the first service, like, my birthday's on Thursday. Does that mean I can't eat cake? I'm like, unless God tells you, man, I eat cake on your birthday. I mean, it's your birthday. Come on. You know? So I'm saying just make it make sense. Do something that says, hey, I really am denying myself. And what I'm learning to do by saying no to food, I'm learning to say no to the flesh. Because what you will discover is when you don't say no to the flesh this way, you're usually not saying no to it any other way, too. I really shouldn't watch that. Oh, well, I'll watch it because I really want to. Oh, I had a bad day. I'll watch that anyway. Oh, I had a bad day. I'll go do that anyway. You're not, your flesh is telling you to go do something, and fasting food, limiting your choices, is your way to start practicing. No, we're not doing that. And let God lead you instead of your flesh lead you. Okay? So number one, we want to plan to limit your eating choices as a symbol for your greater hunger for God. By the way, if you want to end up skipping a meal, or you're doing anything that's pretty significant, I would absolutely encourage you to talk to your doctor just to make sense about what does it look like to do it in a healthy way. So that's, you got a few days to do that before Wednesday, and you got a few ways to shop to get ready. And you got a few days to, well, maybe today you need to go home and eat up all the extra Christmas cookies and candy, get it out. All right, so it won't be there to tempt you once you start. It'll be good. It's how I think. I don't know. Sorry. All right. Number two, a clear decision on how much, here's the word again, you will limit your media. So there's really no point in starving yourself physically or limiting yourself physically if you're not going to limit the spiritual influence of the world during this time. So this is where some people start scoring. It's like, Pastor Sean, the national championships next week, hello. Hey, if that's still part of your plan, that's fine. Just make a limit to say, I want to make sure I'm not all the time listening to the lies of the world. I'm all in. So what do you want? What are you going to do to limit it? To limit your media. Let's get rid of the distraction, the clutter, the influence. Let's get it out of our heart. Let's get it out of our head. Let's get 2 weeks of just enjoying hearing from God. In the beginning, you're going to be a little fidgety, but if you just kind of settle in, you'll discover, wow, this is actually really nice. I had a bunch of people after first service tell me of times they fasted TV for a week. Say, man, it was like I met people in my home I didn't even know lived there. It was like, hey, who are you? Oh, you're my child. That's right. It's like, it's actually pretty good for you. So here are a few thoughts. One, maybe you want to, for 2 weeks or starting on Wednesday, right? It's like, you know what? We're just, no TV. No, which means the pad, the phone too. It's like, no media. Maybe some of you are going to say, from dinner to bedtime, none of it. You know, that's just our time, and we're just going to reconnect as a family, pray, read a good book, do a puzzle together, kind of have fun, do whatever, but we're just going to take some time together. I think a really good idea for the fasting time, it should somehow include your social media, okay? Because let's face it, you just, every time you're looking at social media, you feel worse about your life because everybody else looks like they're having a better life than you on social media. So how about just taking 2 weeks and not looking at it? You know, maybe go online and say, hey, check it out for 2 weeks. Just go focus on God, whatever, you know. 14 days of prayer and fasting. Hashtag me. I don't know, whatever you're doing. Just like I'm doing it. And then in 2 weeks later, you can come back. But you know what? You probably discover you've got a lot more peace in your life if you'd stop doing that for a little bit. And just then you can choose how to reintegrate it a way that you feel like is right and God-honoring. So whether it's Facebook, Snapchat, this, that, you know, I would just encourage you, there should be part of that plan. And now some of you, now this is going to be really hard. Some of you, you know, some obviously, like for me and stuff, it's football or whatever. It's like, all right, you know, I'm going to start the fast here and that's what it's going to look like, or I'll limit it to this or that. I think it's a healthy thing. Tell your flesh no. You know, tell the world a little no too. It'll be good for you. The other thing I think a lot of us need to fast is Fox News and CNN and any other news station. Because believe it or not, if you don't oversee the world for 2 weeks, it will not fall apart. Okay? I mean, I know you need to be watching it to make sure it goes right. But it's probably not going to change anything if you don't for 2 weeks. And how many of you in this room, you're doing pretty good and then you lose your peace over something that frustrates you that you watch in the news? I mean, that's what, and all of a sudden you're kicking the cat and screaming at people and stuff. And it's like, it's the news. It's bothering you. So what I would encourage you to do is take 2 weeks and just turn it off. Let the world run by itself and pay attention to your world. Maybe there's something in your world you need to be paying attention to, and that's taking its place. So make a clear decision on how much you limit your media. Now, I'll say this again later. I think as a household, you should make some sort of decision. Now, parents, do not impose your will on your kids about fasting, because then they're not going to get anything out of it. Let them be part of making a decision for fasting that is a stretch for them, but is something that they agree to, and it's kind of their idea, okay? Because you want them to gain something from this fast. You don't want to just tell them, you're not doing this. You know, you don't want to do that. So, but you should come up with a household fast as well, and don't, there's some things that you're just called to do. Don't ask everybody else to do it. But there are some things that all of you should figure out, what can we do together to say, as a household, we want to depend on and welcome the presence of God more in our life. So you guys can have that conversation today after church. Number 7, a removal of relationships or influences that encourage sin. All right? Now this one is like, you know, after work I usually go, well, maybe not these 2 weeks, you know? At school, I hang around them when I'm bored. Well, maybe not for these 2 weeks, you know? When I'm feeling frustrated, whenever, I flick on the tube, and maybe not for these 2 weeks. The whole idea of let's put a good habit in, let's take a bad habit out. Let's just say for these 2 weeks, I'm going to just trust in the Lord. I'm going to rest. I'm not going to like, well, how am I going to make it? I'm just going to enjoy today. I'm going to have daily bread today. Tomorrow, God will help me enjoy him. Then I'll feast again. And then number 4 on the fasting side, surrendering bitterness in key relationships to the Lord. So during the fast, the Bible says, I can't love God and hate my brother. Now, I didn't say surrender boundaries. I just said surrender bitterness. So sometimes we're in some relationships where the boundaries need to stay. Okay? That's wise. Take good counsel on that. Don't surrender boundaries. But for 2 weeks, you know, give to the Lord. Say, Lord, for these 2 weeks, I just want to give up my bitterness and my pain about this relationship. Because the truth is, some people are trying to change, but you're so bitter, they could give you $1 million and you'd still have the same bad attitude. Well, maybe a million. Maybe you'd change your attitude at that point. But most of you, you just got a bad attitude. And nothing they can do can make you happy. and nothing they can do is good enough. And so what you need to do for these 2 weeks is if history has shown you a pattern that a certain boundary needs to be there, fine, keep the boundary, but change your heart. All right? Let's give people a chance to be a person who has good in them. Man, really think about that. Because there are people on the street that we give more of a chance to be good to us than people that we know really well. Like, they can't be good to us, never. It's like, well, that's just because you're bitter. It's not because they couldn't be good to you. And so what we want to do these 2 weeks, and, you know, there's probably a name, you know, whether you're writing it small or just in your head, it's like, this person, I need to just forgive, boundaries in place, and I need to just let them, if they say something, I need to be think, hey, maybe that was something good, all right, and let that be. Good? All right. So all of this really boils down to the joy of knowing God more. We're taking out some of the stuff, the works of the enemy to disbelieve, doubt. We're just going to say, this 2 weeks, I'm just going to choose to believe. Someone said, well, what if, you know, I'm believing something, one of the things I'm believing for in fast is a medical issue. And it's like, well, what if it, you know, what if they're them? Well, I think that's God's job. I'll let him worry about that. I'm going to believe because that's the work of God in my life, is to believe that he can bring the victory. And I'm just going to do that for 2 weeks. I'm not going to do the what ifs. I'm just going to believe. I'm just going to walk in that. I'm going to take away. I'm going to deny the lust of the flesh, and I'm going to deny the lies of the world. I don't want to be filled up with all that stuff for these 2 weeks. I want to begin this year saying, God, I want to depend on you. Help me choose some ways this week to really depend on you. Like, feel it. Feel that I'm dependent on you. So if you look at the last scripture on the back of your notes, I just want to remember that this is not a religious thing. This is a relationship thing. This is a heart thing, okay? This is about someone who loves you very much, who would love to spend more time with you. This is about someone who would love to get a word in edgewise in your life. And you're making some room. You're just planning some dates. You're planning some time with the one who loves you more than anybody else. In Joel chapter 2, God's people were really religious. They were doing a lot of things, but God called them to a fast, and this is why he called them to a fast. He said, even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all of your heart. With fasting, that's one of the ways to connect your heart to getting close. With fasting and weeping and mourning, and that's all about being repentant about sin. Rend your heart, like change your heart. Don't just change your garments. Don't just dress up nice for church. Like, change something. Return to the Lord your God, and listen to what it says next. For he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love. And he relents from sending calamity. He wants to do you good. But now it's just the time. So what I want to encourage you is today, go home, talk about it, start praying about personally, talk about it as a household. By Wednesday, start it off. I encourage you to start praying more each day, but by Wednesday, whatever that fast is going to be, start that as we gather together for prayer and worship, 7 to 8 o'clock, and then start enjoying that week. Just start feasting on who he is and start tearing down all the stuff that's not even bringing you life anyway. And as you do that, this heart is what God's after. This is what he's after. So I want to encourage you to do that. You'll notice the schedule in the next 2 weeks. You can follow along with that. And I just want us to finish up in one more moment of worship and declaring we need him. And what I would encourage you to do, and whether you can do this now or after worship or you bring it back, I'd encourage you on this prayer card. So you'll notice next week is water baptism. Some of you just, hey, I need to start again with the Lord. Some of you, you made a decision for the first time. Like, next week, you can be water baptized in the middle of this time of prayer and fast. Say, I'm living it out. The old man's gone. I'm dependent on God for a new life. So you can just check that off in your connection card. Say, hey, I'd like to hear more about water baptism. If God's even pricking your heart about that, I encourage you to think about that. And then answered prayer. Next week, we want to mention prayers have been answered and prayer requests. We always use the prayer request sheet to pray through your lives. This week, especially if you don't tend to do it, I'd really encourage you to do it this Sunday. So this week, I'm making more time. I'm not doing a lot of meetings this week or next week. I'm just going to have extra time for prayer. I'd love to pray over, hey, this is my area of victory I'm believing for this year. This is what I'm going to fast over for these next 2 weeks. But I want to encourage you to do this. And whether you just fill it out, fold it up, and put it right on your seat, or whether you put it in the black boxes in the back doors, however you want to do that. But together, there's victory in Jesus Christ. And I'm so excited that this beginning is going to lead to victory in this year like never before. So I'm just going to invite you to stand with me. Pastor Brandon, would you just lead us in a moment of worship, declaring our need for the Lord as we consider all these things?